The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love the air.
Good spirit purpose and tokens, and welcome to the show. It is Friday, March 21st, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And folks, we are really, really doing it live today. We had to fight through Atlanta traffic at 5 o'clock on a Friday during rush hour, and we just made it here to the Georgia Tech Hotel and Convention Center, where they'll be having the Southern Cannabis Reform Conference, the second annual Southern Cannabis Reform Conference, right here tomorrow, one day only, Saturday, here at the Georgia Tech Hotel and Conference Center. So I'm a little bit scattered at the moment, just standing online literally right before the show started, but we still have plenty of news to bring to you today. Sad news from here in the state of Georgia, where politics has killed the CBD only bill that both the House and wanted to pass. I gotta
Oh, looks like we're trying to get back a hold of Russ. Looks like not a very good connection there in the hotel. Let's see if we can't get him back on the line.
You know, marijuana just hasn't been studied quite enough yet. We've got Herb Thrasher bringing us a Daily Toker tune today for Rockin' Friday. I'm not even sure what the tune is. I just emailed the link to Brian the Red, who's in our studio, Rolla J Studios in Portland, Oregon, holding down the fort. My video may be in and out here. The internet connection is a little spotty, but we're working with what we got, and we will bring you the best show we can. Thanks for joining us. I'll also be doing a lot of recording of Neil Franklin and Keith Stropp and so many of the Southern activists here at the Southern Cannabis Reform Conference. So stay tuned for that. We will bring you those highlights on Monday's show. All right. Let's not forget, we got Gordon Green, his final report from Spanibus out there in Barcelona, Spain. His Friday report will be on at 45 past. At half past, I've got a radical rant for you. And in hour two, we're going to put all Gordon Green's Spanibus reports back to back to back. All 5 days in a row coming up in hour two. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to The Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today. 420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get highly educated. Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent ya. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting.
This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, March 21st, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Legislature expands gun rights, says no to medical marijuana, from WSB TV 2 in Atlanta. Lawmakers did not pass a medical bill legalizing marijuana in Georgia, but did agree to expanding gun rights. The medical marijuana bill passed the Senate unanimously Thursday, and it passed the House again with only two no votes. Earlier in the day, however, the Senate passed the bill unanimously, but a bill requires insurance.
Well, we are doing it live here, folks. Sorry for the interruption. This is Brian the Red back at Roll J Studios. We'll get Russ back on the line as soon as we can. Get you some news for today. Bear in mind, he does have to contend with some pretty janky on-the-road hotel internet.
Lauderhill, Pembroke Park, and Sunrise have recently begun to plan for pot. In Lauderhill, City Hall staff has begun to look into how legalized marijuana, quote, will affect health care costs and internal policies, said city spokeswoman Leslie Johnson. In Sunrise, the city is gathering information so it can deal with issues that may come up. We have been looking at the effects of potential medical marijuana legislation on our employees and operations and on the services we provide, said spokeswoman Christine Pfeiffer. Florida voters will decide November 4th whether marijuana should be legalized when medical marijuana question appears as Amendment 2 on the statewide ballot. Medical marijuana in Oregon rules banning pot-infused sweets generates backlash from the Oregonian. One of the architects of a new law requiring Oregon to craft rules that would keep marijuana from kids says the new regulations go too far. Rob Bovet, legal counsel for the Association of Oregon Counties, which pushed for Senate Bill 1531, said in an email to the Oregon Health Authority officials that his intent, quote, was not to ban classes of edibles.
It was to make sure they are in a child-resistant packaging and not packaged in a way that is attractive to youth, he wrote in an email sent to Tom Burns, who oversees the state's dispensary program. The health authority, which oversees the medical marijuana dispensary program, issued draft rules this week that effectively ban marijuana-infused sweets. The rules are expected to go into place next week. Word of the ban spread quickly through the dispensary industry, and patients, some of whom prefer to eat marijuana-infused candies, cookies, and sweets instead of smoking the drug. Amy Margolis, a lawyer who served on the committee that drafted rules for the dispensary industry on Thursday, fired off a response to the health authority, arguing that the law wasn't designed to outlaw marijuana-infused products. Governor Dayton seeks $2.2 million for marijuana study from CBS Minnesota. With a push for legalizing medical marijuana stalled this session, Governor Mark Dayton plans to ask for $2.2 million to research into its possible benefits, a spokeswoman said Friday. Mayo Clinic would head the study, which would focus on cannabidiol, commonly known as CBD, a marijuana compound that does not produce a high. The Associated Press obtained a draft bill from advocates of legalization, and Dayton's chief of staff confirmed it in a statement. Angela Guerin, a medical marijuana supporter who met with the mayor's spokesperson on Thursday, said Dayton is no longer threatening to veto a medical marijuana bill. The governor just says what he's going to support and what he's not going to support. Dayton has said in the past he would not support legalization without law enforcement getting on board, and that hasn't happened this session. Polling center, legal pot in Texas, snuff the thought. A February 2014 University of Texas Texas Tribune poll found just under a majority of Texans, 49%, said that the possession of either a small amount or any amount of marijuana should be legal for any purpose. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, March 21st, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at 420radio.org. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at how vapor pens may be endangering the success of legalization. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com, and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up.
Hemp Radio, starring Patty Cakes, from Orange County, California, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. 16 after, time for us to go behind the headlines, where I found this piece on Mother Jones magazine, motherjones.com, that was published today, or actually yesterday, entitled How Vape Pens Could Threaten the Pot Legalization Movement. And it discusses this reporter who was at a bar in Oakland and talking to a guy who had one of these vape pens, and he took a single puff and says, quote, "I was too high to order a second beer." It may be an understatement to say that marijuana concentrates smoked from so-called vape pens accomplished for stoners what flasks full of moonshine do for lushes. Portable, discreet, and fantastically potent, they're revolutionizing the logistics of getting high and minimizing the risk of discovery. Stories about people using vape pens to blaze away undetected at baseball games, city council meetings, kids' soccer matches, and of most concern to parents and educators, high schools. So this, of course, is something that I've been warning about since about 2009, is the, you know, the whole concentrates thing is kind of an Achilles heel for us if we're not careful on the legalization of marijuana. Parents, you know, that remember smoking a joint behind the bleachers back in their high school days might be shocked to find kids are sitting right there in class, able to hold a vape pen and conceal it in their hand and not be detected just using it right there in class. And the more they hear about this, and the more they start hearing these stories of BHO, which we're seeing the media refer to it as a new drug called dab or a new drug called wax. This story talks about the whole 710 scene and the dab rigs and tries to explain it. It also talks about the Baking Bad piece that was on Slate, where they discussed the manufacture of BHO and how so many places, you know, headlines are out there about places blowing up and people getting burned. In fact, I just read a story out of Los Angeles where a 21-year-old man got third-degree burns over 85% of his body, and a 19-year-old got third-degree burns over 50% of his body from a hash oil explosion gone bad. And if one of them dies under California law, the other one can be charged with second-degree murder. That's how serious they're taking this. And they're also talking about how concentrates and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that 10% of teenagers, you know, 12 to 17, had tried e-cigarettes for nicotine concentrates. And that's double the number from the previous year. And they also consider that that's probably an underestimate. An anthropologist, Emily Ann McDonald from University of California, San Francisco, told that her interviews with teens and young adults in New York suggest that the use of vape pens is gaining steam, especially for getting around the rules around smoking marijuana in places that are more public. The story also goes on to talk about the different states, medical marijuana states, and their various rules and regulations regarding concentrates. A lot of them, it's still a felony. It's still illegal. In Michigan, they recently ruled that concentrates aren't allowed under the medical marijuana law. And in Colorado and Washington, they have allowed concentrates under the recreational legalization laws. These concentrates and the use of vape pens are a double-edged sword. I mean, the nice thing about a vape pen is that it takes away the optics of the blowtorch and the dab rig. But the bad side of the vape pen is it adds that surreptitious nature, that ability to conceal it, that is going to frighten some parents and frighten some of the mainstream. This is why I thought it was so important that following the legalization victories in Colorado and Washington State, that other states take up the fight in 2014 rather than waiting for 2016. By 2016, this vape pen thing will have completely exploded. And using marijuana will have an entirely new frame to it. So by passing our legalization in Alaska and Oregon, we can help to get more momentum and get ahead of this. All right, it's 20 after. We got to take a break. Stick around. We'll be right back. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin.
Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420.
In the afternoon, if I'm home, I smoke marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ. On the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, marijuana. Yeah. Oh,
if you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic, so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes. The best in Pod Safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily toker tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 23 and a half past the hour, and we got Herb Thrasher on the line, so we're getting some Rockin' Friday. Dude, I'm in the South.
You are in the South, man. I'm looking forward to hearing all these fine stories. I've seen a couple of the cool pictures, even got you driving cars. Who'd have thunk it? Good stuff. You there?
I think we might have lost Russ, man. Just go ahead and intro the tune, bro. Just go ahead and intro this.
Right on. This is Follow for now. We're going to stay in Georgia. Very popular band in the early 90s. You there?
I'm here, dude. Go ahead. Just keep introing.
Man, this is... I'm all fucked up now, dude. Yeah. Follow for now. American funk metal band from Georgia in the 90s. Played with me cool bands like Living Color and Fishbone. Extinct now. Not around... But going back to some timeless music, this album, Follow For Now, self-titled back in 1991, is a collector's item today. David Ryan Harris actually works for John Mayer now. He's done a lot of work for Dave and just many, many good stuff. So you guys check out Follow For Now, and we'll catch you guys. No Herb Thrasher Flower Hour tonight, and we'll catch you guys back next week.
All right, thanks, Herb. We're going to get to the tune. This is Follow For Now. She watch Channel Zero.
Attention, Earth and all surrounding planets. You are now instructed to turn off your telephone. So, to keep herself in the know, she watched the Woodley picture show. Trying to keep up with the new stuff and who's so and so, but I've come to disrupt the flow. I claim no authority, just move cause I said so.
Take your set and chunk it out the window. And attempt to live without the ominous glow of Channel 4. Of Channel 3. Of Channel 2. Of Channel 1. Of Channel 0! Makes a man all pause. And if you got a woman, she might make you forget yours. There's a five-letter word that describes her character. But her brain's been washed by an actor. And every real man that tries to approach, come the closer he comes, he gets just like a roach. I don't think I can handle, she goes from channel to channel. Go looking for a hero. She watched Channel Zero. All added up to zero and nothing in her head. She turns and turns and she hopes the soul's off the reel. She learns that it ain't true, no, but she won't survive and rather die the line. Falls a fool for some dude on the tube. I don't think I can handle. She goes channel to channel, go looking for a hero. She watched Channel Zero. Cause I know she don't know, I quote, I made you train by 2-4 into a mode. Revolution, a solution for all of our children. But I truly don't mean as much as a show. I mean, watch you worship, scream, and beam for a TV ad. And it makes me mad, I don't think I can handle. She goes channel to channel, go looking for a hero. She watched Channel Zero.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. We believe it's time for a new approach on marijuana and that Oregonians deserve a chance to decide in the 2014 general election. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. By implementing a strict system to regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana, we can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Under our approach for 2014, 40% of funds would support K-12 education, 20% would support mental health and treatment services, and 15% would be dedicated to law enforcement. Public opinion, coupled with victories in Washington and Colorado, confirms marijuana legalization is inevitable. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you. Thrasher Sportswire with Herb Thrasher and Radical Russ from Portland, Oregon. Live every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. GMT, right here on 420radio.org.
A 10 miles down a twisty road, you gotta pull back, you're gonna overload. I'm gonna make you sing like a mockingbird. You better hurry, better hear my word. You are a wine receiver and you're magnificent. I just believe I want you let me vent. I got a notion you will stay for a while. I got a notion gonna make you smile.
Alright, that's Glenn Hughes, Get You Stoned. Kind of had to take over things because Russ is in such dire straits when it comes to the internet. Oh, no Deep South pun intended. Anyway, we're going to bring you a radical rant here, and then we're going to close out the show with the Friday Spanibus coverage. Join us in hour two, where we've got the full week of Spanibus coverage back to back to back to back. This is the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. I'm Brian the Red. Thanks for hanging around.
You
go to
work on the green. You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
How stoned is too stoned to drive? That's the question researchers Rebecca Hartman and Marilyn Huestis set out to discover in their latest meta-analysis, Cannabis Effects on Driving Skills, that was just published in the Journal of Clinical Chemistry. Their conclusions raise serious questions about the application of impairment standards for cannabis-using drivers. With Washington's passage of I-502 marijuana legalization, there now exists a 5 nanogram per milliliter per se DUIC, or driving under the influence of cannabis, standard. If your blood is tested and there's more than 5 nanograms of active THC in a milliliter of your blood, you are determined to be too impaired to drive, regardless if you're impaired or not. In the wake of Amendment 64, Colorado lawmakers are pushing for a 5 nanogram per milliliter per se DUIC. Many states already have worse standards, such as a zero tolerance per se DUIC, where even the presence of inactive marijuana metabolites in your urine from smoking pot a week ago is enough for a conviction on being too impaired to drive today. What's the science behind this standard? Frightfully little. In fact, in the push for a 5 nanogram per milliliter per se DUID standard is really a case of lazy policymakers applying alcohol standards to marijuana. Maybe our constant drumbeat of treat it like alcohol is partially to blame. But they fear pot smoking drivers, and they've created a solution in search of a problem. With alcohol, there is a direct correlation between driving impairment and blood alcohol concentration. Also, there is a direct correlation between how much you drink and how high your blood alcohol concentration will be. Alcohol is a water-soluble molecule. It's metabolized and processed by your body rapidly. This is why at most bars you can find that color-coded chart that says if you weigh X pounds and you drank Y drinks, you'll be at Z% blood alcohol concentration. But with marijuana, THC is a fat-soluble molecule. Your body will store it in your fat. It is not metabolized rapidly or consistently. Interestingly, your body processes and expels most drugs from your system within a day or two, but it holds on to marijuana for as long as possible. Identical twins could smoke the same joint, but both could have wildly different blood THC readings. Plus, there's that issue of tolerance. Frequent marijuana smokers develop a tolerance to the impairing effects of THC. A THC reading that would leave a non-smoker in a stupor, giggling at his navel, would leave a stoner feeling refreshed and alert. Then there's the judgment of the alcohol drinker versus the marijuana smoker. You've heard alcohol referred to as liquid courage. It is that effect where an alcohol drinker underestimates his or her impairment level and overestimates their ability to take risks. An almost opposite effect happens with marijuana. People who are stoned tend to overestimate how impaired they are and underestimate their ability to take risks. This leads to the joke about the stoner waiting for the stop sign to change color. Cannabis users tend to slow down and leave more space between them and other vehicles. A recent story on KIRO News in Seattle demonstrated many of these points. Three marijuana smokers were recruited for a driving test to be observed by an in-car instructor and a police officer watching outside. One smoker was a young, frequent user. The next was a middle-aged, occasional user. And the last was an older, infrequent user. The frequent toker began the test already at 16 nanograms per milliliter, over three times the legal limit. Both the instructor and the officer said her driving was without incident and had no apparent need to pull her over. Yet if she had been pulled over, she may have faced a charge as being as reckless and impaired as if she just had three shots of whiskey. Now, throughout this test, the drivers were given 0.3 grams of marijuana to smoke every 20 minutes and then put back out onto the test track. It took until the fifth try, after 1.5 grams of marijuana, for that frequent toker to exhibit reckless impairment. But, interestingly, at the fourth try, she expressed that she'd never get behind the wheel at this level of impairment. She overestimated her own impairment before she reached it. The other drivers, even though less frequent users than she, didn't demonstrate levels of reckless impairment until they'd gotten far beyond the 5 nanogram per milliliter level as well. So let's get back to this study that just came out. Hartman and Huestis, they gathered as much data as they could on the subject of marijuana and driving. However, there are many problems with most of this data. This is from their study. Early DUIC epidemiologic studies did not provide strong evidence for cannabis causality, because individuals with only non-psychoactive 11-NOR-9-carboxy THC in the blood were included in the cannabis-exposed groups. Shorten that there. 11-NOR-9-carboxy THC, or we're just going to call it carboxy THC. That's the inactive metabolite they find in your urine when you're trying to get like a drug test for school or work or whatever. It's not the active one that they're testing for in blood. That's part of the problem with a lot of these studies. She goes on to say here, carboxy THC has a long window of detection, even in blood, well after acute effects dissipate. In other words, they can still test for it, even though you're not high. In less than daily cannabis smokers, carboxy THC was detected up to 7 days after the smoking of one joint containing approximately 38 milligrams of THC. THC blood concentrations decrease rapidly after smoking. Blood collection occurs about 90 minutes after an arrest and 3 to 4 hours after an accident, long enough that many samples have become cannabinoid negative, although the blood may have been positive at the time of the event. There also were few cannabis-only cases. Multiple drugs with potential to contribute to impairment were usually found. So these are the problems. Whenever you try to study this, all of the studies we've had so far have been on inactive THC, have ignored the fact that you can have THC in your system even if you haven't smoked for days, and there's so few people that are just cannabis-only. A lot of them, they're like alcohol and marijuana, or prescription drugs and marijuana, so they have trouble sorting the data out. But they tried. In this meta-analysis, they tried, and let's see what they found out. here's the another problem they have is that the selection of who you're testing here, who is likely to come up positive for marijuana is difficult because pot smokers and people who crash cars both tend to be young male risk takers who drink and drive. Here's from the study. Cannabis smokers share demographic characteristics similar to those of other groups with a high crash risk, including youth, ages 8 to 25, 18 to 25, male sex, you know, being male, risk-taking, and high drunk driving incidents. But here is the second best quote of the whole study. Cannabis tolerance may develop in frequent smokers with less impairment than for occasional smokers with similar THC concentrations. That is the money, second best quote of this whole thing. Yes, absolutely. Somebody like myself who smokes a joint is going to be far less impaired than somebody who never smokes a joint smoking the same joint. I've developed a tolerance to this. The study continues by saying, statistically controlling for these potentially confounding variables sometimes makes results ambiguous. So, there you go. We have the same demographic that is a high risk-taking, car-crashing, drinking young male demographic, also tends to be the demographic that smokes the most pot. We have the problems with the carboxy THC. We've got the problems with trying to find cannabis-only drivers to study. But there's some other things we should take away from this study as well. Before we presume that pot smokers are absolutely no risk to the general public, there are some compelling data that say we shouldn't go blaze up and then get behind the wheel. From the study, DUIC after smoking during the previous hour almost doubled crash risk. A finding that withstood adjustment for demographic characteristics and self-reported driving under the influence of alcohol. Driving within 1 hour after smoking produced higher motor vehicle accident odd risks than driving within 2 hours. So I hope that as a society, as a group, as a movement, we can agree that smoking and then getting right behind the wheel is something that we shouldn't be trying to defend. I'm not saying you're too impaired. I'm just saying from a political strategy standpoint, it's going to be hard to defend smoking up behind the wheel. I know Irv Rosenfeld does it. It's going to be hard to defend. So when people like Kevin Sabet and Patrick Kennedy, they have this quote, they like to say, smoking marijuana doubles your chance of a car crash. They're not so much lying as not telling the whole truth, because they leave out that part at the beginning that says, driving a car within 1 hour of smoking marijuana doubles your car crash risk. That's the way they like to play. But here's the conclusion from Hartman and Huestis from their latest study, available in that journal I told you. The debate regarding per se and zero tolerance drug driving laws is a prominent issue. Increased blood THC concentrations are strongly associated with increased crash risk, but there is no direct correlation between driving impairment and THC concentration. This is one of the government's leading researchers on the science of blood, THC, and driving impairment. Been working for NIDA for years, National Institutes of Drug Abuse, and even she is telling us there is no direct correlation between driving impairment and THC concentration. So, if a number on a blood test doesn't tell us whether someone's too impaired to drive, why have the standard? Well, this is where politics trumps science. It's because people are scared of impaired drivers and they believe, thanks to the alcohol breathalyzer, that a sciencey sounding number can protect them from doom. Us marijuana rights advocates who are fighting to prevent a per se DUID standard have science on our side. But we face an enormous amount of political will that cares very little for science. So why not bend that political will in our favor by supporting a per se DUID standard, but one so high only the truly too stoned to drive would fail it? Now the science shows that there are higher odds risks to driving within 1 hour of smoking pot. We also know that while THC blood readings are incredibly variable by body type, frequency of use, and time, we also know that within 5 minutes of smoking, THC readings are through the roof and then decrease rapidly afterwards.
Sorry to have to cut that off, but we need to have some time saved for our Spanibus segment. Update from Gordon Green. Friday, the last day update from Spanibus Week. Here on 420 Radio and the Russ Belville Show, I'm Brian the Red. Thanks for sticking with us. Russ is someplace without good internet, so stick with us. And stay tuned for hour two, where we've got the whole week of Spanibus coverage for you.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
And we're back. A finally Friday with Spanibus Week on the Russ Belville Show and 420radio.org. Some of the interviews we had planned to get didn't come through. People very difficult to find. A couple didn't want to talk to us after all. But that was fine with me because that gave me time to sit down for a long chat with expert grower and famous author Jorge Cervantes. And we talked about changing drug laws. We talked about cannabis clubs in Spain and a lot more. And here's my interview.
All right, back on 420 Radio with Gordon Green and the Russ Belville Show on Spanibus Week. It is day three. And let me tell you, my throat is sore and I am about Spanibus out, Russ. But it's all good because I'm sitting right here next to one of the great growers and one of the great authors of cannabis literature. The great Jorge Cervantes is sitting next to me, rolling a fatty. Jorge, welcome to Spanibus Week and the Russ Belville Show.
Well, gee, hey, thanks a lot for having me. It's really nice to be here. Yeah, we were we're sitting here in the medical cannabis bike tour tent. Hola, ¿cómo estás? Estoy haciendo una entrevista. Okay, yeah, we're sitting here in the medical cannabis bike tour tent. The bike tour that raised 100,000 euros in U.S. dollars. That's about $136,000 for the research of cannabis against cancer. And they're giving it to the university there in Madrid.
Wow, is that here? There are doctors, actually I've seen some videos on YouTube of doctors from the Madrid hospital that conducts this research. Their initial studies were being done on mice, I think, and killing actual cancer tumors in the mice. And those videos are on YouTube. I don't remember the doctor's name right now, but that's a great thing with the cannabis bike tour. How many writers
did you have? Guzman. It's Dr. Guzman.
Guzman. That's
Guzman.
Right.
Yeah. Manuel Guzman. And yeah. Anyway, it's their group. It's their Guzman's group that's doing this. And what this money specifically goes for is a study of 30 cancer patients and given doses of cannabis to see how it shrinks the tumor. So it's a very important study.
Awesome. You've been to CUPS in the USA, and maybe you can tell the listeners what's the biggest difference between cups in the U.S. and Spanibus. Not only do we have Spanibus in Barcelona, there's also Spanibus in Valencia, there's Spanibus in Malaga, and there's also Spanibus, I think.
Mexico cannabis in Madrid.
In Madrid, and there's one in Iruña also.
There's also another fair up in Iruña, yeah. The thing is, first off, Spanibus is by far the biggest fair in the world, the biggest cannabis fair in the world. And it's got more activity. There's more deals being made. All of the bosses are here.
What do you mean by deals? Are you talking business?
Business deals. Okay. Business deals. Because, see, this will go to an American audience, yeah?
It's around the world.
Okay, or around the world. But a lot of Americans will listen to this. And the American shows very well could get bigger, but what they don't do is they don't mix hydroponics or the indoor grow industry or the cannabis grow industry, which is quote unquote illegal there, with the cannabis industry, and they don't do that publicly. Here in Europe, or specifically Spain, it's not a problem.
To admit,
it's very open.
That part of consumer is part of your business.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know, I mean, there's the bong people here, or the smoke shop people, all of the indoor growing supplies, everything. There's one guy, their wholesale catalog, Hortitex wholesale catalog. It's like a phone book. It's amazing. And they're giving it away. I mean, it must cost €2 to print that and give it to each one, give away.
It's beautiful color, and they're throwing them at people. Two at a time.
I've never seen anything like that in America.
Yeah, they're watching every penny.
Yeah, it's incredible. No, it's been a real boom for the economy too here, because as you know, it's 25% unemployment in Spain, and I don't think any of these guys here are unemployed.
No, and you couldn't find a nicer job.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's everybody's happy, you know, mellow, no problems. We're still outside of the city. We're outside in Cornellà de Llobregat. Cornellà is what everybody calls it. La Feria de Cornellà. And, you know, it's nice. It's, 17th of March. And it's a beautiful day. There's not a cloud in the sky. And it's like, 21 degrees now, easily.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the clubs, Jorge. Associations or cannabis clubs are becoming famous, or very well known internationally around the world. What's happening with the clubs, and the laws are changing, and maybe you can tell people how they're changing right now, and what the future of the clubs
will be. We really don't know. There's been estimates that there's 300 different social clubs in just in Barcelona alone, and that's where it's the most liberal place, the most liberal city. Well, what you can do in Spain is form a club, a private club, and only let members in. And what you do inside the club is pretty much your business. So these clubs have been around forever. Everybody has all kinds of clubs, you know. It's not just for cannabis. So they form these clubs, and inside the club, members are able to exchange donations they donate, and then many times they get cannabis. They're able to just pick up some cannabis, but there's two things.
Theory,
one of them is separated. They're separated because on one hand you have a donation, and the other hand, you know, the club just may want to share some cannabis with you. So there's two.
In theory,
donations and sharing is what it is.
I've been told in theory that you're collectively, because correct me if I'm wrong, that there are laws in Spain that allow for the cultivation of a personal amount of cannabis, and that can vary depending on, you know, it's a judge's call. The police want to mess with you. But in the terms of clubs, that you are collectively growing as a group,
that's
privately, and you're not purchasing cannabis, you're retrieving your maintained part of the garden,
right,
so to speak.
Yeah,
in reality, is that the reality?
Well, yeah. What happens here is, people always form associations here, and because there's more power in numbers. But you can have personal people. But you can also have this be the object of your club and grow. But see, this has changed over time. 15 years ago, there was a case initiated by OTSEC that went all the way to Strasbourg to the court there, and they had three people. Everybody had three plants. They had their NIF on it, or knee on it. Everything was all done, your national ID on the plant, this is mine, you'll vouch for it. Okay, so when the police came at harvest time to take everybody, to take this great big greenhouse full of cannabis, just south of Barcelona, out in Reus, what they did is they said, okay, who's in charge here? And Felipe, one guy stands up and goes, it's mine. And so they take him. He's got a case in Strasbourg. They lose it, and they say, okay, don't do this anymore. But it took like 5 years, 6 years to get through the case and everything. It was a big problem. So nothing had happened for a while. And then they started again. And they started in the Basque country. They started in several places. And they just keep working. And this time it appears to be working. We'll see how long it goes, because they're talking about it in the La Cámara, in the legislature.
Parliament.
The Parliament. Yeah. They're talking about that. So that's important. We'll see how it shakes out. And there's a couple of things, because they wanted to put it under the Catalan, Ministry of Justice enforcement. Right now it's under the Ministry of Health. And it's a whole different ballgame being under the Ministry of Health than Ministry of Justice. Because,
everyone knows justice is different than health. Let me finish by asking you, Jorge, what's the best product that you've seen at Spandamus so far? Do you have your own product to plug or something new coming?
Well, no, actually, I really haven't seen a lot of new products or anything. I think the biggest product I saw was that great big phone book product book of just products. That was impressive to me. And I've got a new book coming out. It's a cannabis encyclopedia. It's twice as big as the Bible. You take a seat, you plant it, you
grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. All right, well, big thanks to Gordon Green out there for Spanibus Week. Big thanks to Russ out there who tried to bring us a show today. We're doing it live, people, so sometimes it's better than others, We love it. We love the earth. Hey, if you missed any of the segments from Spanibus Week, stay tuned in hour two. We're going to bring you all of them, except for the one we just played, Jeff. So thanks to everybody who helps out with the network. Make sure you contact your local legislature about that medical law here in Oregon. For everybody here at 420 Radio, I'm Brian the Rip. Until next time, take care of each other, Token.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Attention, attention, attention. Oh yeah, attention. Shut up.
Spanibus Week starts Monday, March 17th on the Russ Belleville Show and 420radio.org. Join me, Gordon Green, as I bring you all the happenings from the largest cannabis expo in the world, Spanibus 2014 in Barcelona, Spain. Daily reports, all-access interviews from Jorge Cervantes, Danny Danko, European personalities like Cannabis Cure UK and The Dope Fiend, and many more. All here with me, Gordon Green, starting Monday, March 17th on 420radio.org and the Russ Belleville Show.